Well, the hope of the world is Jesus Christ. And we can sing to his glory because one day we'll have a home in heaven. Nothing to fear, nothing to fret about, perfect joy, perfect peace. We began a three-part series last Sunday talking about how do we reach the many generations in which we find ourselves, because the Scripture proves to us that it is possible for a generation to lose sight and memory of God's good works in the next generation. In Judges chapter 2, verse 10, last week, the Scripture said, after that whole generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. This was the generation that followed those who went into the promised land. They went into the promised land. They saw the reality and the fulfillment of the vision God had given them, promises kept by God, doors opened by God, supernatural power demonstrated by God, and the next generation, because of disobedience and compromise and intermarriage with the people and the customs of the land, idolatry crept in, the customs of the people that were there crept in, and they forgot about God and they lost reverence for God in one generation. We also talked about the many generations that are with us today and represented in our church. In our church, there is the silent generation. We have 40 people in that generation, those who are between 74 and 92. Baby boomers, those who are between 55 and 73, we have 81 members. Baby busters, those who are 39 to 54, we have 45 members. Millennials, we hear a lot about millennials these days. Those who are 18 to 39, we have 59 members. And the I generation, those who are born after 2001, they're 18 and under, we have 13. So we have multiple generations living amongst us and represented in this church. And as Keith Green, the Christian singer, said, it is a responsibility of every Christian generation to reach their generation for Christ. So we have a lot of generations with a lot of responsibility for reaching people for Jesus Christ. Now, I want to talk to you today about how do we engage all of these generations represented in our church and in our community. There are some churches that will say, we're only going to reach one generation. We're going to be an old people's church. There are a lot of those around. Just travel around and visit them. There are some that will say, no, forget the old people. And I see a lot of this. Forget the old people. Let's get rid of them so we can reach the new people because the old people are holding us back. So they will just focus on the new people and ignore the people that are there. And that doesn't work either. That usually divides the church. So how do we do it? Well, let me draw your attention to 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and what the Apostle Paul said he did. I think he's a pretty good example. I would think he was probably the most effective missionary to the Gentiles that ever was. He set the standard, and he showed us what a person could do when they were empowered by God. 1 Corinthians 9, I start with verse 19. Though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from Christ's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak, to win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. Some people will read this verse and they say he's compromised his beliefs. He's lowering his standards just so that he can reach different kinds of people. That's not what it's saying. Paul never compromised his beliefs. He never lowered his standards. He wrote so much of the New Testament that we read, we memorize, we follow, we practice. And as we see what he wrote, we see no lowered standards or no compromise with society. What he is saying literally is that he takes two approaches. And every church should do the same thing. He takes a shotgun approach and he takes a rifle approach. He takes a shotgun approach in that he's trying to reach as many people as possible, even though they're different and maybe from different generations, backgrounds, society standards. They may be different, but he's trying to reach them all. And he takes a rifle approach in that he's trying to communicate to each group specifically. He's not saying, this is my one approach, everybody accept it. And a lot of churches do that. They'll say, this is it, take it or leave it. If you don't like what we're doing, don't come here. But then there are other churches that are focusing, if we're going to reach young people, we've got to do it differently than the way we may reach old people. The way we minister to millennials is going to be different than how we minister to baby boomers. Does that make sense? They were brought up different. Their customs are different. Their society is different. Their communication is different. There are a lot of different things, but Paul is saying, I'm going to try to reach all of them, but I'm going to rifle in on each one and try to talk their talk and understand where they're coming from and communicate on their level. That's what he's saying. And that's why a lot of churches aren't reaching a lot of people, because they've said, we only want to be one way. We're going to be this way, and being one way, you can reach one group of people, probably. So what we see here is a life lived with a approach to reach as many people as possible and becoming like them in a way that communicates the gospel. We said last week that the church exists for one purpose. And if you boil it down and you make it as simple as possible, that purpose is to make great the name of the Lord. We're not here to make a name for ourselves. We're not here in as a church member to show people how spiritual we are or how important we are or how great we are. We're here to make great the name of the Lord, whether we're singing in a choir or sitting in a pew or teaching a class or working in the kitchen. We're here to make great the name of the Lord. In doing that, we need to understand that there are at least five realities that exist in today's culture in general. And then we need to target each generation in a way that ministers to these realities. First of all, people value a personal touch. People want to find a place where they can feel welcomed and can fit in with others who care about their needs and their interests. Young people want to be in a place where their needs are met and people care about them. Older people want to be in a place where their needs are met and people care about them. People value a personal touch. Secondly, people want options. Today, people are saying, I don't want to go to church at 11 o'clock. I don't want to go to church at 11 o'clock on Sunday. And so we look around and we see churches meeting on Saturday night. We see churches meeting on Sunday morning, and you ride by, and I think this is kind of schizophrenic, but contemporary service at one time, classical service at another time, I don't know, another service at another time. It's like they've got all kinds of options available. People want to have options about when and where and how they study the Bible, when and where and how they fellowship, when and how their schedule comes into play. That matters to people now more than anything, particularly when it used to be, when a lot of you were younger, the schedule of the church shaped your family schedule. Remember that? Now, the church is just one item on the schedule. Sunday morning was sacred. Wednesday night, people went to church. Now, there's all kinds of things fighting for Wednesday night and Sunday morning. So what do? We say, no, we're only going to meet at one time at one place. So that limits the number of people that are going to come to your church. You have to offer options because that's what people are looking for. People need help coping with change. That's another big thing. Aging issues. One of the real issues today with baby boomers is taking care of their parents. Finding them, do they move in with them? Do they put them somewhere? What kind of help is available? Medical help, residential help? What kind of support is out there? Churches need to be addressing that. Relationship issues. We live in a society where relationships are crazy and they are constantly changing. Health issues, raising teenagers. How does one generation communicate with another generation? These are all issues that people are dealing with, and we have the book that has the answers to the issues. And people are going everywhere else except to God to find answers, partly because the church is not offering answers to those people who are seeking for answers. And there are people all around us coping with change that need help. People also need a place where they can experience meaningful service. Every one of our lives has a purpose and value, and people want to spend their time and their talents and their money on things that make a difference, particularly millennials. Our sons have been involved in churches where they'll go into a park and they'll serve the homeless people. And they're in like a millennial churches. They're in that kind of age group church. And that's what they do. They go out in the community and they serve the community. People want to be where they can serve and make a difference. If a church, and I'm not saying this church is like that, but if a church says we have our leadership in place and anybody new cannot find a place of leadership, those people are going somewhere else. If somebody wants to come and minister and we say, sorry, we have all the ministries filled, they're going to go somewhere else. If they're really interested in ministry, we have to offer opportunities for people who want to serve God and find value in what they're doing. We have to make those available. People are looking for hope. In a secular culture, The individual finds little hope outside of himself or herself. People want and need to know that there is hope that transcends this life, just like our choir special was all about. We have that hope in Jesus Christ. The church exists to make great the name of the Lord, and people today are saying, is there hope? We live in a divided country. People are depressed and discouraged. They need hope. And we need to be a church that offers hope to this community and to this society. So those are the five realities that exist today in the cultures that are around us. People want a personal touch. They want options. They need help coping with change. They need a place where they can serve and find value. And they need hope. So in this reality, how do we make great the name of the Lord to all the generations in which we exist? Well, let me tell you three things we can do. First of all, we have to make known what we believe to people. What do we believe? We get so caught up sometimes on peripheral issues, and Satan loves it when we start fighting over the color of the walls or the texture of the carpet or what kind of donuts we have, rather than what we believe about the Lord Jesus Christ. So here's an answer. Paul also had this, the man who was trying to reach all of these people. He, in 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4, for what I received I passed on to you of first importance. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. That's what we believe. We also believe Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, for it is by grace we've been saved through faith, and this is not for ourselves, it's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. We must make known what we believe. And we must communicate it in a way, listen carefully, we must communicate what we believe in a way that every generation understands it. That means when we're talking to younger people, we cannot use the Baptist alphabet. Some of you grew up WMU. What's some of the other ones? What's some of the other initials that we use? RAs, GAs, Sunbeams. You know, if we were to tell people, y'all need to come to our WMU, our RA, our GAs, our Sunbeam program, you tell that to a millennial, and they're going to roll their eyes and go down the street. So when we talk about our faith, we have to talk to them in a way they can understand it. That's important. Now, I'm going to quote somebody. It's a guy named Drew Dyke. And he wrote an article called Millennials Need a Bigger God, Not a Hipper Pastor. That got my attention right there. But this is what he said. He said the number one predictive factor, listen, as to whether or not a young Christian will retain his or her faith is whether that person has a meaningful relationship with an older Christian. That means older Christians need to be mentoring younger Christians. We must share the good news of the gospel to the generations around us in a way that they can understand it. And it must be a faith that is transcendent. It must be presented in a clear way, in a loving way, that gets the attention and captures the hearts of people that we're sharing our faith with. We must act like we believe what we believe. We also must profess an unshakable faith. Not say, well, I know you don't believe this, and that's all right. This is what I believe. We both could be right. No, we must believe what we believe, and we must know what we believe and be able to communicate it to all generations and be willing to ask and answer challenging questions to help people believe what we believe. We must be able to clearly communicate, demonstrate, and discuss our faith to all generations, to young people, to middle-aged people, to old people. And I'm going to be sharing with you next Sunday 11 suggestions on how we do all of this. So just hang loose. We are ambassadors for Christ. We have to represent Christ in a meaningful way to the generations around us. So we make known our faith. Secondly, we must make known our values. Our values are those things that we will not compromise on. Every church has values. Our values must be biblically based. And when our lives are guided by God's principles rather than culturally correct standards, people will see the difference. Our values not only must be biblically based, but they must be clearly defined in a way that we can explain what is important to us to people who do not believe so they can understand. And we must lovingly share and apply our values to people and let them know that while we do not compromise on these values, even if they do not agree with us, we still love them. Love is a magnet that draws lost people to Christians. You do not have a problem with love in this church. You don't have a problem with love. So that's a plus. That gets you there. Now, I want to share with you five values that every church should be founded upon. And you may say, well, that's not what our church is founded upon. Well, these are five that ought to be on your list. Number one, and these are values that you do not compromise on regardless. The Bible is our guidebook. Amen. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That's enough for us to know. We do what we do. We believe what we believe. We act like we like. We act and we talk like we talk because of what the Bible teaches us. Amen. Now, there's a denomination. I'm sure there's some on this island and everywhere you go. Blew my mind when I found out this. The Bible is one of three things. The Bible, tradition, and what they vote on in conference. Those are the three things that govern what they do. Major denomination. Go do your research. You'll find out who it is. Secondly, ministry to others is our mission. We're not here for ourselves. Did you know that? There are people that say, don't mess with my church. I like it the way it is. It's not your church. It was bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, if you go and die on a cross for a church, it can be your church. It is not your church. We're here for others. Someone said the church is the only institution that exists for the benefit of its non-members. So we need to remember that. Because it's easy to take ownership. When we take ownership, we know we've taken ownership when we say, well, they did Bible school in here and they didn't put the chairs back the way they were before. or nobody asked me permission before they did something. And why did they do that without calling me first? There's only one person we need to get permission from in this church. And he's seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. So we're here for the benefit of other people. Thirdly, every member is a minister. There are no spectators and participants. Everybody's a participant in the local body of the church. You have a spiritual gift. You have at least one spiritual gift that God gave you when the Holy Spirit took up residence in your heart. You have at least one, you may have several, to use for the benefit of the body of Christ and in ministry to other people. You don't join a church to put your name on a roll. You put your name on a roll to sign up for ministry. You're here to serve. Have you ever heard of a backdoor revival? A backdoor revival is when people leave the church and the church gets better. So if there are people that are dead weight, that are taking up space, they need to go sit somewhere else and make some seats available for people that want to come and serve. Number four, the New Testament church is our example. I hear a lot today about the Reformed movement. The church needs to go back to the Reformation. No, the church needs to go back to the New Testament church we read about in the book of Acts. This Reformation stuff, we've got a lot of Baptist churches becoming Presbyterian churches. Our search team knows all about this. So we just need to go back to the book of Acts and start reading the book of Acts and just start doing and acting like they did without all of the stuff that we've added on. Number five, prayer must be primary. Prayer must be first, not last. Prayer must be a forethought, not an afterthought. And finally, the Holy Spirit must empower every minister, or else the ministries won't get anywhere. So those are six values that every church should have. The Bible's our guidebook. Ministry to others is our mission. Every member is a minister. The New Testament church is our example. Prayer is primary. And the Holy Spirit empowers every ministry. Now, we also must make known our vision. A vision is a statement that conveys the desired end and the ultimate goal of the church. What are we trying to do? Where do we want to go? What is our vision? There are three things about a church vision. One, it must be God-given, because every spiritual vision comes from God. It's not man-generated or invented. It comes from God, or else we don't need God for a man-made vision. It must be Holy Spirit empowered. It must be a vision that man cannot fulfill, but only God in his power can help us fulfill. It must be bigger than us, that keeps us ever seeking, keeps us ever searching. Listen, when you collect all the money, you move to the new property, you build the buildings, that's not the end of your vision. You have not arrived. That's just a milestone on the journey till we all stand before God. That's part of where we're going, but that's not the stopping point. A vision must not only be God-given and Holy Spirit-empowered, it must be obediently pursued. Real value in life is found in doing impossible things for God in his supernatural presence and power. For without him, nothing is possible. You know what the vision is for your church? You know it's on your website? It's almost a page long. You ever seen your church vision? Do you know why your vision is here and where you're going and what you want to do? So that we and those to whom we minister may become like Jesus Christ, we envision coming to our family of faith, a constant stream of persons seeking the presence of God in their lives, sharing the gospel with every person and family. Our family of faith growing exponentially as unsaved people accept Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, and saved persons choose to serve God as members of our fellowship. A church which emphasizes the spiritual discipline of prayer in every aspect of its congregational life and the personal lives of its members. A fourfold ministry which gives equal emphasis to evangelism, missions, Christian education, and Christian nurture and care. A comprehensive lifelong program of Bible study for all ages to include specialized biblical, theological, practical, and family enrichment opportunities for training and education. Providing programs of ministry designed specifically to meet the changing social, physical, emotional, and spiritual needs of all the people. A family of faith in which every person will experience fully the love and acceptance of their brothers and sisters in Christ. A fellowship so bonded in the love of Christ that neither race, gender, color, nationality, social standing, physical, emotional, or mental disabilities, financial well-being, political persuasion or affiliation, nor any other circumstances of life shall impair its unity. A fellowship in which every member, as a minimum, ties their time, talents, and treasures in the service of God. Obtaining sufficient land in the north end of St. Simon's Island on which to build a ministry complex that will remain adequate to the future expansion and changing needs of our diverse community. And, ultimately, a fellowship in which every person identifies and fulfills the special ministry God has intended for his or her life. That encompasses all of those six values that I gave you. But it's a mouthful. It's a lot. It's a good vision. It's just wordy. And I know there are probably people here that wrote this. So I think you did a great job. I couldn't have done this. Incorporates what we're talking about. And you probably need to pull up the website at some point in your church membership and see what your vision is. Print it out. Read it. As Christians and as a church, we can find the basis on this vision and any other worthy church vision in two passages in the Bible. And it wouldn't hurt just to say our vision is what these two passages say, the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. This is the Great Commandment. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it, love your neighbors yourself. Well, the vision we have on the website incorporates that. Secondly, the Great Commission. Jesus came and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Love God, love others, tell the world about the greatness of God. I think it's interesting to note that Jesus made loving other people so important that he elevated it to the second greatest commandment, second only to the great commandment of loving God. So our vision as a church must be God-given. It must be accomplished only in the power of the Holy Spirit, and it must be obediently pursued. Now, we talked about our faith, we've talked about our values, and we've talked about our vision. From that comes a mission statement. The mission statement states what the church is going to do to fulfill its vision. How do we take this page-long vision, how do we do it? It's one thing to say, this is what we've dreamed, this is what God has envisioned for us as Frederica Baptist Church, right here. This is what we see. We have to put it in a statement that keeps us focused on what it is we're supposed to be doing. And you have a mission statement. You also have a mission statement. You know what your mission statement is? The mission of our church is to lead people to a life-changing encounter with Jesus Christ so they may become like Him. That's also on your website. Values, vision, mission. Every member of this church should know and understand what the mission of the church is all about. We should talk about it when our committees meet, when our mission teams meet. We should evaluate how effective we are in fulfilling our mission frequently. We must protect it and preserve it or rewrite it to the point that it accurately conveys what the true mission of the church is. How are we doing in meeting our mission? When was the last time the church gathered together to evaluate its success in fulfilling its mission? The mission of this church, according to what you have agreed upon, is to lead people to a life-changing encounter with Jesus Christ so they can become like Him. Now, I did something that a lot of people do. I Google something. You know what I Googled? The mission statements of other churches in this area to see how unique our church is. You want to know what some of them say? St. Simon's Community Church. You heard of that? You know about that church? Their mission, making Christ followers who live to make a difference. The bottom line is change lives. That's their mission statement. Then they go on to outline a strategy. The strategy involves making Christ followers who live to make a difference by equipping them to reach up to worship God, reach in to grow together, and reach out to make a difference in our community and around the world. So that's the mission statement of a church down the street. Have you heard of First Baptist Church, Brunswick? Our vision is to lead others from where they are to where God wants them to be. It's our desire to serve our community with excellence with the goal that all will come into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and see that relationship grow. There's a church we passed. We passed a sign coming in on 17 as we come on into Brunswick, Calvary Baptist Church. You know where that is? Calvary Baptist Church exists to exalt God through worship, empower servants through ministry, evangelize the lost through witnessing, equip the saints through discipleship, and encourage the body through fellowship. We have one goal, glorify God. And then I'm hesitant to read this one. But this was the church from whence this church came. First Baptist St. Simon's. The vision of First Baptist Church St. Simon's is to be a family of believers sharing God's love and grace with all people. The mission is to help people experience God through Jesus Christ, grow through Bible study and prayer, celebrate God's presence in worship, give hope and help to those in need, and provide a sanctuary of love and Christian fellowship. Now, one thing that you see here and that I noted here is that all of these mission statements sound a lot alike, don't they? Some of the same general elements. They all sound alike. But we know they're not the same kind of churches, are they? They're different. They have different personalities, different reputations. Some are structured in their leadership in different ways. Some have different levels of formality or informality in which people come to church. Some have different styles of worship. Some even interpret the scripture different than we do. We don't see that in the mission statement. So we have to ask ourselves as a church, as Frederica Baptist Church, what distinguishes us from other churches? Because I always said when I was on Skidaway, if we are going to be just like every other church on this island, we don't need to be here. There are already churches that people can go to. Unless we're going to do something different or be different or act different or believe different, communicate different, we need to be distinct. We need to be known for our vision, our values, our mission, our faith. If people perceive that this church is just like other churches in our area, why would they want to come here? I want you to think about that in the days ahead. What is it that makes us different? Distinct. And maybe, and we're in the process of updating our website, maybe it's time for some people to get together and say it's time to update what our value statement is, what our vision statement is, what our mission is, and make it clear to people whose probably first touch with our church is going to be that website. They're going to go check us out on that website, that we make it clear what we're all about. And it needs to look so good that people say, you ought to see Frederica's website. Other churches ought to look at it and say, man, we need to change our website. They've got it going on. Those people have made it clear who they are, who they're trying to reach, how they're doing it, what they believe, and what makes them different. So let me sum it up. We must know what we believe and why we believe it. We must understand the values that come out of the Bible that we will never compromise. We must be able to tell the world why we exist and what our vision is all about. We must evaluate how well we're doing as a church in terms of our mission. And we must press on in spite of difficulties or obstacles or even limited faith. The Apostle Paul said, I have become all things to all men so that by all possible ways I might save some. And I do all of this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. as you look to the future, you have to be willing to ask the hard questions and say, if we want to be like Paul and we want to reach all these generations, or do we want to be selective and say, no, we only want to reach one group? Everybody else can go somewhere else. And if we decide we want to reach multi-generations, we have to understand that we have to rifle in on each one and communicate in a different way so they'll understand what we believe, what we value, what our mission is, and incorporate them into the life of the church. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. Your word is truth, and we thank you for the example of the Apostle Paul, who showed us, Lord, that we're not to just be a one-generation church, but we're to try to reach all people so they might learn about the love of Jesus Christ and how he can change their lives. But let us know, Lord, there's not just one way to do it, because one way won't reach all people. Help us, Lord, to be adaptable, to be teachable, to be open, and to be excited about the future. Because when we hold on to you and we trust in you, you will take us there in your power. That's our hope in Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.